Why not robots? What a strange subject, John. You know, this may seem to some unusual. And some of you in the audience may be already running ahead of me because we've probably studied this or it's been brought up in our studies. Why didn't God just make robots? We're going to look at that. And we'll see if we can add some new perspectives to that. Now, throughout my life, and I'm going to give here a little bit of a resume. Throughout my life, I was interested in the electronics as a teenager, which is now more years than I want to even talk about. But my mother would come to clean my room and look around and just shake her head. There was wires running everywhere. I had drawers full of electrical components because I wanted to, whatever I found, take apart and see what made it work. So I had an interest in that. And that interest really came from my father. And then later on, when I graduated, I went to a vocational school and took communications electronics. And then I worked in TV repair for a few years. Now, brethren, these were old TVs. This was in, you know, the 70s and 80s, and vacuum tubes, and I don't even know, some of you may not even know what I'm talking about. But they were fixable. Today, you can't hardly repair a TV. They're not worth repairing. You just throw them away. After this, I entered the industrial world. I received training in the field of robotics at a place I worked called Candlelight that made candles. A big place, one of the major candle makers. And they used a lot of technology, a lot of automation, mostly in packaging their product. So I received extensive training in that, even went to Germany a few times and trained there. And then later on, for 20 years, I worked in an aviation place where they made parts for jet engines. Now these were not the type of robots pictured here, but they were industrial robots. And these types of robots perform jobs that are too dangerous for humans or too repetitive. For the next 35 or 40 years, I was involved in this type of work. I was not involved in the top type of robot there, but this type. This is an industrial type of robot. They were mostly used for tasks that are too dangerous for human beings, or, as I said, they're too repetitive. There are many types used today. Some are more complex than others, but they all use the same basic controls for their movement, which we'll go into in the next few slides. In my last work, where we done aviation, they sprayed coatings on these parts, and the temperature of the torch at the end of the robot exceeded 3,000 degrees. So you couldn't be in a room with it. That's why they need robots. That's a type of example of the dangerous environment they use these in. So it's this type of robot I want to talk about and explain a little bit about how they are controlled for our topic today. You have a human-machine interface computer. Started out laptops, which were that thick, and back then it was DOS. And they contained the programs, we wrote the programs to these computers. And so it was called a HMI for human machine interface, It contained all the programs, the robot movement, and the input and output information. The HMI, you might think of it, is an interface between man and machine. And it's the only way that you can interact with it. The control system translates this language in the HMI to a language the robot can understand. And it's sent to the access drive. This can be binary and other things, X, Y, Z coordinates and so forth. That is controlled, is in the control system. And then that information is sent to an access drive system, and this controls the individual arm movements of the robot. There can be as many as 6 to 8 axes or even more in more complex systems. So this is the control system. Now, I just want to take a little bit of time and explain a little bit about the axis control, which controls each arm. Each arm has a motor, and they have to be controlled independently. The axis drive receives information from the program, written into the HMI, and uses the drive motor to execute movement. This is tracked by the encoder and TAC and sent back to the axis drive. So that is, its movement is known. It's how it knows where it's at. This system has no other interaction. It only follows the programming and the job it was given. Now, I hope I haven't bored you to tears by now, because just a minute more on this control. The axis drive receives a command to move the arm to the pre-programmed position. As I said, the encoder is part of the motor and sends feedback to the axis control and the HMI so that the exact position is known. This type of control is called closed loop. As I said before, it doesn't accept any other inputs. I mean, there can be other inputs if you put them in. But if a robot is going to move and you're in the way, it's going to strike you. And most probably it will injure you because it doesn't know you're there. So these are very confined, very constrained. Now, I went through all that because I want to use the information that I just covered of an explanation of why free will is so important in God's plan. So then, thus our title, Why Not Robots? Because of the type of control that I just described, it's a closed loop. In other words, the only feedback in the system is constrained to the system itself. If anything, as I said, would move into a path, it would be struck. It only knows blind obedience to the program that was written. Whereas with free will, as God has given us, is open and the feedback is from our heart. It is for sure that God could have created all beings as mere robots, to do his bidding and only obey. But God didn't want to do it this way, did he? In his wisdom, he knew that would not work, and we're going to get into why. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26 says, My son, give me thine heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Give me thine heart. That's the feedback that God needs. That in his system, he needs us to give him feedback. I said as before, I programmed robots for many years. You know what? I wrote a lot of programs. And when that inanimate robot is sitting there on a pedestal, I can't say, love me. It doesn't compute, does it? It wouldn't go. The robot wouldn't understand. Or it could not give glory to anyone. No, this is only possible by our Creator. And we will talk about some of the reasons for this. I'd like to read something from Pastor Russell's sermons, page 495. The topic is the only begotten honored. And it reads, before the beginning of the creation of God, before the only begotten of the Father became the Alpha of the creation, the Father had wonderful purposes in himself, respecting all his great plan for everlasting future. It included this world and mankind and the permission of evil and its penalty and the restoration to be accomplished by Messiah's kingdom and the glorious work of eternity in further creations in world after world. Continuing in the second paragraph, but as the Master declared, these things the Father has kept in his own power, in his own hand. He divulged them not to the angels, nor even to his dearly beloved Son. His dearly beloved only begotten Son. We have seen how this divine secret, divine purpose, was symbolically represented in the scroll in the hands of Jehovah as pictured in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. This is the NASB. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. We have seen that this revelation was delivered to the Lamb, the only begotten one, after he had been slain, after his consecration at Jordan, and in its fullness, after his death at Calvary. When he ascended on high, glorified at the right hand of the Father's majesty. Acts chapter 2, verses 32 and 33. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you now both see and hear. Continuing in the writings of Brother Russell. But before the Logos was made flesh, before he undertook to be man's redeemer, the Heavenly Father set before him the glorious proposition. He informed him, the Son, that he had a plan, a scroll, and that the execution thereof was to be given to the one who would prove himself worthy by demonstrating his loyalty to divine will. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man. This indicates the cooperation of the Father and the Son in the outworking of his plan. It is God's plan, as shown in Revelation 5, but he seeks those who will participate in the plan as he has laid out. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. This scripture is often associated with the Lord and his acceptance of the invitation to participate in God's plan. But I also like the thought that this could also be applied to the household of faith, to all of us that reply Here I am. The last paragraph I'd like to read from Pastor Russell's book, page 495, is at the bottom. We read that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, but we are not to understand from this that he came under divine command, the refusal of which would have meant divine displeasure and his own degradation. On the contrary, we understand the matter clearly. When we hearken to the apostle's statement, he declares that Messiah left the glory which he had with the Father before the world was, and humbled himself to take upon himself man's form, and then consecrated himself even unto death, all because of the joy that the Father had set before him. These paragraphs from Brother Russell are so inspiring. At least they should be. As we talked about before, the Heavenly Father wants us to have free will, free thought, but not like a robot. John chapter 6, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So then, what is free will? Do we have it? One definition is the idea that God has granted human beings the power to make their own ethical decisions. Good or evil, right or wrong, virtue or wickedness. In the end, it's up to each one to decide which path we shall pursue as we go about our daily lives. Example, if you wanted to get up right now, walk across the room right now, and you would have had the ability to do that right now, to walk across the room, you could do exactly what you want to do because you're free to do it. So you might say the ability to do what you want. Well, brethren, these two exclamations, which I got off the internet, are a bit scary. Because this is exactly what is going on in our world today. Evil people are making their own decisions and doing evil things. Yes, this same freedom has given some the ability to do good. And it's a very precarious situation. You know, I was out in the audience and I seen everyone when the hymns come are using their cell phones to look at the hymn. That's from Christian Resources. That's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. We all use it. You know, I was on there and you can look up General Conventions way back in my dad's time and listen to it. That's amazing technology, brother. That's technology being used at its best. But there's also situations where it's not at its best. So then what is free will and do we have it? Voluntary choice or decision, that's number one. I do this of my own will, freedom of humans to make choices that are not determined by prior causes or by divine intervention. All our decisions now, in this time, made by humans. Think about that. The simple answer is no. Because some are made by what is now called AI. Artificial intelligence. And it sounds just like what it is, it's artificial. These are much more sophisticated and complex than the simple robots I used in my example. AI, brethren, is getting very dangerous. And it's not a threat to us. It's not a threat to God, for sure. But it can mislead. It can give you misinformation. It can give you fake news articles. And now it's being used to generate things that we read all the time. The environment of this room we are in is now controlled by algorithms. What you receive on your cell phones can sometimes be manipulated. The decisions we make are monitored by AI. If you choose to go on this ad, you're going to receive more ads and so forth. You all know that. You realize it. It's being every day being used in our world to help human beings make decisions, good and bad. We know the one that is behind this, and it is not by divine intervention that this is happening. Psalms 143 verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. That's interesting. Word level ground. The question arises, why did God give us this free will? Was it given to all creation? This came up, I think, on our West Newton study, and we talked about it a little bit in the room. Angels, archangels, cherubims, do they all have free will? The consensus was, I think so. Of course, we know 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 38 said, but God gives it a body just as he wishes unto each of the seeds a body of its own. In Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Imagine that. Well, this scripture seems for sure to indicate free will, then, by Satan, to do what he wanted to do, and in a very evil way, he desired to be like God. Jude 6 reads, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, and to the judgment of the great day. This also seems to indicate their own free will to do what they wanted. Although it was evil, and these are called fallen angels now, they had that choice. I like the notes from this, from John Magason, on angels. These fell from being known as angels of light and sons of God to be henceforth known as angels of darkness, demons, wicked spirits, kept not their first estate. The first estate or condition of all angels was one of harmony with God as spirit beings. At one time, they were in harmony with God. And so these scriptures seem to point to the fact, this is, as Adam did, they had free will to choose their own path, right or wrong. And if anyone on this subject has scriptures that would point this out more or disprove, I'm open. If you want to talk to me, I'd be interested in that. The last question on this subject is why. And this is the most important question. Why did God want mankind to have free will? We know the answer to this. We have answered this somewhat in the fact that robots would not work. And we all know why. At the General Convention in 1999, Brother Leo Post gave a talk called The Highest Motive. And I believe this was based on Pilgrim Echoes by Brother Benjamin H. Barton. And it begins on page 134. I believe this answers the question better than I can. Brother Burton quotes from John 17, 1-3. He also brings this out, and I quote, notice the word that. It is the same Greek word which occurs three times in these three verses. Once in the first, once in the second, once in the third, and it really means in order that. End of quote. And so we will read John 17 verses 1-3. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, then, in order that the Son may glorify you, even as thou hast given him authority or power, all flesh, over all flesh, that in order that to all you have given him, he may have eternal life. This is eternal life, that in order that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so in closing, I want to go to Pilgrim Echoes 147, page 147. The most glorious part of all is when we will be able to bring glory to the Father's name, as we cannot possibly do today. Someone might say, but it is not written of our Savior. He, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. Yes, what was the joy set before him? Part of his joy was the deliverance of the human race, and part of the joy was the joy of buying the world of mankind back from condemnation. But why did he want to do this? Why did he want to do all this? Why was that such a joy? Why was it a joy to our Savior to think of the human race being delivered from all suffering and pain? Dear friends, the chiefest part of the joy was the thought of how the human race would be able to glorify the Father. This is the highest motive. There's none other. The highest motive is for us to glorify God. This is the reason. This is the purpose. This is the purpose of God giving us free will. He doesn't want to command us to do something. And as I said, a mere robot, you can't command. God wanted feedback. Remember we talked about feedback. He wanted feedback. He wanted an open society, one where his creation could love him and give him the glory. And so that's what this has all been about in me. There's a summary here, but I think my time is about up. Okay, I'll use this in summary, because I want to use some of the words of the Lord Jesus. In the 17th chapter of John, verse 4, it says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil, and the evil one. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. He's talking about us. And in another scripture, he says, not only these, which he's talking about disciples, that also those that come and believe in those disciples. He's talking about us, talking about the church. And so, brethren, I thank you for being here. I'm so thankful to be at this convention, and I do pray for the follow the rest of the day, and so, amen.